the evil and false compassion. How often have we heard good Catholics talking about the problems of other Catholics who are living contrary to the teachings of Holy Mother Church? Does it not seem that in many cases these Catholics think that the Church should yield in a loving manner to the apparent need of the poor sinner? Is it not true that most Catholics believe that if the Church is truly to be Christ-like, it should have sympathy for the poor sinner who is in such a pitiable condition? In reality, are they not of the belief that it is the duty of the Church and not the sinner to do the changing? Could this so-called compassion, unenlightened though it may be, stem from a lack of understanding of why Christ left His Church here on earth? Let me use the following illustrations for clarity. First of all, we must believe that sin is not good for the sinner. This one thing is absolutely necessary. Sin must be looked at as something extremely bad for the sinner himself. This is not understood by Catholics today. If sin is looked upon as something really bad, like cancer of the soul, then leaving a person in his sin would be seen as an act of cruelty and not compassion. Second, we must realize that the rules of Holy Mother Church are loving directions from God. Once this is understood, it becomes quite clear that to allow a sinner to remain in sin and at the same time believe that he is living a truly Catholic life in itself is not only a lack of compassion, but might even be classified as insanity. How can one live in disharmony with God and have peace here on earth? Now let's not confuse peace with fun and enjoyment. The sinner might experience great enjoyment. However, this experience is short-lived, and the consequence of sin will eventually destroy him spiritually, and in many cases physically as well. Only self-discipline and a well-formed conscience is able to resist the enticement of sin. Suppose a child in school was making 60s on his test papers. What would a truly compassionate teacher do? Move the passing level in the class to 60? Or work with the child to enable him not only to pass the test, but to make a good grade on it? Now one can readily see that it takes more love and concern for a teacher to work with a child than it does to just drop the standard. What does the teacher who drops standards really accomplish? Will dropping the standard help the child in the competitive world in which he will have to make a living? Could it be that those who want to show compassion by lowering standards are really not so compassionate, but rather suffer from guilt for not putting out the effort needed to truly educate the people who are now suffering because of that neglect? Do these so-called compassionate people really believe that leaving people in sin and ignorance is truly being compassionate? How can a poor sinner ever attain true happiness if he remains in the state of serious sin? He has about as much of a chance of being happy as a student whose teacher lowered the grade standard has at being successful. Truly compassionate people know that the sinner is helped only when he is lifted out of the mire of sin and brought back in conformity with the teachings of Holy Mother Church and right living. One cannot be happy when he remains in the state of serious sin. Any knowledgeable person knows this. We cannot follow Christ and live in serious sin, just as we cannot be happy and live in serious sin. So as one can see, true love and compassion are shown when we teach by our words and examples the loving dictates of Holy Mother Church to those who have unfortunately fallen into serious sin. I especially feel for those poor souls who have suffered and those who are still suffering in large part because of a lack of sound Catholic teachings. False compassion is a primary cause of the destruction of so many of our Catholic families. Poor Mom. Now, I don't want to give the impression that Dad doesn't suffer when a child falls away from the faith and chooses to live in sin. However, for the most part, Mom, being the one created by God for love and compassion, will suffer most. She loves her children and always wants to see the good in them. Often the sin is so repulsive to her that she tries to avoid the realization that it exists. She tries to normalize her child's sins. She feels that this is the only thing she can do. After all, they are her children. Her love does not end when her child falls into sin. In fact, it is likely her love for the wayward child increases. What is she to do? For most part, it is to lovingly accept the child in his sin. This is false compassion. Right order in the family. When the family is rightly ordered, that is, when the husband is the head and the mother is heart, life tends to be more enjoyable. Sadly, in our society today, this order is viewed as something next to slavery. Christian Family Outreach has pamphlets covering this issue, so we will not elaborate on the headship of the husband. However, there is no denying that the traditional hierarchy of family life is not only rejected, it is utterly despised. Because of this change in family structure, children have steadily become more and more rebellious. Authority has been portrayed as oppression. This hatred for authority in the home is likewise being felt in the church. As people abandoned the teachings of Holy Mother Church, sinful and abhorrent practices began to be accepted. As these sinful lifestyles gained acceptance, family problems increased. Had Catholics been properly catechized, their understanding of the horror of sin would have dissuaded the children from sin. For all we know and thoroughly understand that a sinful lifestyle would not be accepted by anyone in the family. Parents who know and understand the value of purity will be extremely vigilant in the guidance of their children, so as to protect them from all sinful environments. Today, in our carnal world, our youth know that their sins will be accepted by all, leaving virtually no obstacle against their sinful lifestyle. The horrible consequences. The horrible consequence of this false compassion could have been avoided had parents known and understood their faith. Without this knowledge of church teachings, the poor parent is left with no practical defense against, "Mom, everyone is doing it." This mind-boggling problem is increased when both parent and child see numerous examples of people living in what the church defines as a life of sin, and no one is saying anything about it. In fact, the only person likely to be rebuked would be the person who would dare call attention to the sinful lifestyle. So what does the poor parent do? In most cases, out of perceived compassion, they go the way of the world and accept the children's sinful situation. Remember that one must really understand the horrible consequence of sin to stand firm in these situations. Sadly, once the parent accepts the sinful situation, they lose the ability to say anything when the next child falls into sin. The chain of acceptance has begun to be forged from one child to the next, continuing to the children, the grandchildren, and the great-grandchildren. Their ability to confront sin has been impaired, and the whole family loses. The acceptance of the first child's sinful lifestyle leaves the parent with a feeling of obligation to accept the sins of everyone else. Yes, false compassion is evil because it puts everyone, family and friends alike, in a do-nothing and say-nothing position, allowing the sinners to remain untroubled and comfortable in their sins. From sacred scripture we read the reason for God's harsh judgment against Heli, because he knew that his sons did wickedly and did not chastise them. 1 Kings 3:13. Many Catholics today are imitating Heli by lovingly and compassionately condoning the sins of their children. And this is the evil of false compassion. Peter had false compassion. Even St. Peter was not exempt from false compassion. In Matthew 16, verses 22 and 23, we read where Jesus tells the apostles that he would be put to death. Peter took him aside and said, "God forbid it, Lord." Jesus turns and rebukes Peter, even calling him Satan. Wasn't Peter showing sincere and loving compassion? Did not Peter truly love the Lord? Yet Christ, in a seemingly harsh and rude manner, publicly compares Peter to Satan. Why? Because Peter allowed his feelings to be controlled by Satan. He allowed his love for Jesus to overshadow the purpose for which Christ had come, which was to save souls. Like Peter, we allow our feelings to be controlled by Satan when we forget our purpose in God's eternal plan. Like Peter, we often see the sufferings of those we love and want to relieve them of the suffering, even if it entails going against God's plan for them. In some instances, we even justify their living in mortal sin, which jeopardizes their happiness here on earth, as well as their eternal happiness with God in heaven. We must always be on guard against false compassion.